I want you to open your Bible to Psalm number 86 as we continue our little survey through more of David's Psalms. We are coming up on the end of David's life, and I want to get his Psalms into our study through God's Word at this point. These all have superscriptions on them, but we don't know exactly when they were written. But they certainly would have been put into the psalm book that will be used in the worship that will happen during the reign of King Solomon and afterward. So, as I always tell you, we got to feel these psalms. There'll be some information in them that we'll draw out. They might even tie into things in the Old Testament, some into the New Testament. But the biggest thing is to feel these. So Psalm number 86, a prayer of David is the superscription. Incline your ear, O he who is, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Maybe written a little bit earlier on in his life. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. So the understanding that God is always listening. We should cry to him when we have something going on in our lives. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in chesed, steadfast love to all who call upon you. Remember that? That's a word that I'm trying to teach you repeatedly. It's all about God liking us, wanting what's best for us. David leans into that. And God actually introduced himself in this fashion on many occasions, that he was merciful and loving and had steadfast love for multiple generations. So David is really grabbing a hold of those promises. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Remember, grace is unmerited favor. It's actually asking God for something beyond what is rightfully due. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. He knows that from past experience, and so do we. There is none like you among the Elohim, the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. Now, this word here for gods, as I already said, it's the same word that we'll see elsewhere when it's a reference to God himself. The idea, though, is that it means mighty ones, literally. That's the literal meaning of it. And so sometimes it actually refers to angels, because they're mighty. Sometimes it refers to the judges in the society, because they are also mighty ones. In this context, though, and the Greek Old Testament seems to go this direction, is that this seems to be a reference to the fake gods and goddesses, the fallen angels who are passing themselves off as divine beings. Many of the nations around Israel had these gods and goddesses. And so David is saying, no, none of them are like you. There is none of these wannabes that can hold a candle to you. And they can't do the things that you have done. All the nations, all the ethnic groups you have made shall come and worship before you, O he who is, or O Lord, it's actually Adonai, and shall glorify your name. So there's some anticipation in his wording here that eventually non-Israelis will recognize that there is no God but God and come and worship at the temple that he will eventually that Solomon, his son, will eventually build. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O he who is, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Walking was used as a euphemism for lifestyle. So David is asking to be able to live the lifestyle of someone following God and being able to be united in all of his choices. The heart is where you make your choices in Jewish thinking. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your chesed, your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Sheol is the place where the departed spirits go, and in the Old Testament, they awaited disposition. Even including the righteous souls. They had to wait until Jesus paid the price, and then those righteous souls were able to go into the presence of God Almighty because their sin had been paid. So David was talking about death here. You have saved me from being dead. Oh God, insolent men have risen against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. That sounds very much like we're talking in the time of Saul's persecution of David, the couple of years before Saul's death, when a lot of people that supposedly were friends of David, acquaintances of David, co-workers with David in the military, turned on him. And so he prayed a lot about that. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That is exactly how God introduced himself to Moses in those words. Turn to me. Be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. A nice little poetic thing there to tie in David's mom to God. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, he who is, have helped me and comforted me. That last bit is a kind of a prayer for vindication. God, step in and make it clear to the troublemakers that I am your person, and you are looking out for me, because all of us would like to be vindicated when bad things have been said about us. Well, let's jump ahead now to another psalm that we have not yet done that comes from David, Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And it is highlighted as a song of ascents, a song of degrees. I think it's got more to do with ascending toward the place of worship. Remember, when David is the one that's designing the temple, and when David's son Solomon puts the temple up on the Temple Mount, as we call it today, anybody going up to it from Jerusalem, the capital city, will be going up steps. And so this perhaps is one of the songs designated for that procession, going up those steps to the place of worship. And then, of course, it says, of David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of he who is. Wow, isn't that a great way to approach going to church? Going to worship is, I was excited, I was happy when they said, let's go to church, let's go and worship God. Verse 2, Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And so David is very enamored with the city of Jerusalem by now. And I think he anticipates that it will be extending northward to encompass the new Temple Mount as Solomon builds that direction. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. At this time, it's a very compact oval city, walled in just south of what we call the Temple Mount today. And it was a place that people came for worship already, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant is located. That is where the palace of David is located, to which the tribes go up, and you always go up to Jerusalem. It's a metaphor for Jerusalem being the city of the great king. That would be Yahweh, that'd be He who is. You always ascend when you're coming toward God. So, to the which the tribes go up, the tribes of He who is, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of He who is. The Israeli people, in the law given by Moses, were required to come to the place designated by His name 3 times a year. Those were the mandatory ones: Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is a reminder of that. It was decreed that they had to do that. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. So not only is it the place where you go to worship, it's also the place where you go to acknowledge the kingdom of David on behalf of God. And then comes this part, which you've probably heard quoted. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem has a lot of turmoil going on right now. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls. Security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of He who is our God, I will seek your good. The sentiment that David is expressing here is that Jerusalem was intended to be the place of worship. It was intended to be the place of government. And it needed to be a peaceful place for those things to work right, to be available to everyone. And as a pragmatic application for today, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the people that live there, that they will have better lives. But honestly, from a pragmatic point of my own, I have been kept away from Jerusalem on several occasions because there was no peace there. And I would love for all of us that want to go and see the places where Bible events happened to be able to go there securely, safely. And so let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and blessed be those who love that city. Let's go to 124 as our next psalm. 124, and it also says a song of ascents of David. If it had not been He who is, who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been He who is, who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. So you can tell this is David singing about the past, singing about situations where people did not like the Israelis and wanted to get rid of them. Again, sounds very familiar to the current situation. If God had not stepped in, then they would have disappeared from the scene. And of course, that would go against God's promises that the Israeli people as an ethnic group will persist before him all the way to the end of historical time. So they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. David uses a very common descriptor here of the wet weather streams, the wadis, that are all over the region of the Middle East, where when the rainy season comes and the water comes down onto the earth, it fills up the upper areas of these wadis, and that gains a whole bunch of energy, a lot of volume, as it pours down into the drier areas far down below. And it can be a sudden, overwhelming flash flood. Just wipe you out if you're not paying attention to what's going on with it raining in the highlands. And so here is David saying that's what it would have felt like if God had not stepped in and protected us from the flood of hatred. Blessed be he who has not given us as prey to their teeth. So we haven't been handed over to the predator. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We've escaped. They used to catch birds in Israel using nets. And so here is David saying, we would have been like birds caught in a net, except God stepped in and made sure we got out of it. Our help is in the name of he who is, who made heaven and earth. So the dependence upon he who is from the beginning to the end. That's what got them through the rough times of life. Let's go to Psalm 131 is our next one in the list here that has David's name clearly attached to it. It's again another one of the Song of Ascents of David. Oh, he who is, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. This is talking about being proud, being full of oneself. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. So I don't stick my nose into places that are above my pay grade. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Interesting little metaphor. The weaning idea is kind of by the third birthday. Most children were eating and walking and starting to talk and being individualized. I mean, they still had a lot of ways to go. We would talk about this being like a preschooler. So David says, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a preschooler right there with mom. That's how my soul feels inside of me when I just trust God. And I think all of us would like to connect with that feeling of being protected and being able to trust the one that loves us. Verse 3, O Israel, hope in he who is from this time forth and forevermore. So place your trust in God and be like a preschooler with him. Let's go to 133. A Song of Ascents of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And yes, we can add our amen to that right now. It's so much better in your church, in your family, when everybody's getting along. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. Now, that's a little funny from our perspective because we don't do this anymore. When I get up in the morning and I wash my face and brush my teeth, I don't get big handfuls of olive oil and slather it through my hair and on my face and in my beard so that it starts dripping down and even gets on my clothes. That's not part of our culture. He has even a more precise application of that cultural use of daily anointing oil. He thinks about how when Aaron was first anointed as the high priest, where a specially scented olive oil, it would have had a heavy cinnamon smell to it, was poured over the head of Aaron on the day of his inauguration as high priest, and it ran down through his hair, down through his beard, down onto the top of his high priestly robe to show that he now belonged to God's service. And so that's a little bit more of what David's got in mind here. Isn't it good to be overwhelmed with God's choice of us as belonging to his service? Verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now, Hermon is the tallest mountain there in the Holy Land area. It's to the north of the city of Dan, and it actually has snow in some parts of it most of the year, I think. But the dew of Hermon was pictured as kind of that beauty of the shimmering of the foliage in the morning with the dew, or perhaps the frost. And he says, now transfer that down to Jerusalem, how that feels to have the beauty of God's nature falling on the mountains of Zion. For there he who is has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So David probably writing this in preparation for the building of the temple by Solomon on the Temple Mount there at Jerusalem, having inauguration ceremonies that will involve this special oil, that it's going to be a beautiful place for worship where people are coming together and being one. And certainly we can pray for that sort of thing in our church as well. Psalm 138, a simple superscription of David. I give thanks, O he who is, with all my heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. So again, we've got this idea that the other nations around them worshipped other gods and goddesses, and David's idea is, well, he who is so much better than any of these wannabe, fake, fraudulent gods, the fallen angels that have caused trouble since the Garden of Eden. So he says, you know what? I give thanks in front of those guys. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your chesed and your faithfulness, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So he's talking about the worship aspect. And it's all because of who God is and what he's already done. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God is the only true and living God, and his word is the only one that is trustworthy. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. So he bears witness to what God's already done. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks, O he who is, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of he who is, for great is the glory of He who is. Again, I can appreciate that maybe this song David is writing in anticipation of worship that brings non-Israelis to Jerusalem. For though He who is high, He regarded the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. See, God gives grace to the humble, and He brings down the prideful. We'll see that in other psalms and in the wisdom literature. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, sounds a little bit like Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand delivers me. So even though I have all these tough times in life, You are consistent in dealing with that and helping me through it. He who is will fulfill His purpose for me. Mark that. Get that in your head. He will fulfill not our purpose for ourselves, because our purpose can sometimes be very selfish. He who is will fulfill His purpose for us. And that is one of the reasons we pray, not my will, but Yours be done, right? The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your chesed, oh, He who is, endures forever. The fact that You love me, You like me, You want what's best for me, I know that that's going to be around for eternity. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. That is a prayer of don't let me move through life without You. And I think that's a very good place for us to close up these undated Psalms of David. We'll get back into some more Psalms next time we can get into the Word.